Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining me now is Maria Gallucci. She is a proud CODA, or child of deaf adults. Growing up as one of six hearing children raised by deaf parents, she learned ASL, or American Sign Language, before English, and helped her parents buy a home at just 12 years old. Her book, Raised in Silence, shares lessons of listening, love, and loud family dinners. It's a heartfelt book about communication and empathy. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. Thanks for joining us. So I know everyone's childhood is kind of all they know, and to everyone that's their normal. But do you remember a moment? Do you remember when you realized, other parents can hear and to know and understand that your parents were different? Do you remember that moment?
I actually do, which is funny because I was we were on a field trip going to the Denver Zoo, and I was sitting underneath a tree with my friend, and my mom was coming down. We were having lunch at the field trip, and my mom was coming across the parking lot, and she was signing to me, so I was signing to her. And then my friend has said, "Oh, your mom doesn't talk." I'm like, "No, we have ASL. Like we speak sign language." So I think that's when I realized, oh, what I thought was my normal was different to everybody else.
Yeah, interesting. So, what age did you start to learn sign language?
So ASL, which is American Sign Language, is my first language. So we use sign as babies, and so. English is actually my second language. So we learn to talk on the TV or at school. So I've always had a stuttering issue. So my entire life, so I was already in speech therapy. And then they put all six of us kids together in speech therapy just because we had to learn to talk because all we knew was ASL.
Wow, that's amazing. And did all six of you, did you all learn it at a similar time? I mean, is that how you started communicating with each other as kids?
Yeah, and we still do. If like we're at a restaurant or whatever, we still will sign across the room because I mean it's easier than screaming across the restaurant. So we still actually have that instilled in us. Yeah, we all learn sign language, and I taught my kids as well when they're babies because I think it's easier for babies to learn sign than it is to talk and communicate. And so I think that's why a lot of people teach the baby signs because they could just say milk or things like that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's kind of makes sense, I suppose. So
yeah.
For people in this situation, then, do you think a lot of them would learn as babies, as youngsters?
Yeah, and I think it's a lot easier too because I remember my son taking ASL in high school, and I told him to take it as the foreign language. And I'm like, oh, you got this. Like, we'll get, because he's a 4.0 student. And so, because I'm fluent in sign language. And no, he got an F on the test that I helped him with because it's different learning it. I know the teacher let him make it up. So at least he got his A back. But so it was completely different as an adult learning the sign language than it was just being raised in being fluent in signs. And I never knew that until I saw him trying to learn to sign as an adult. So I think it's a lot easier when you're children.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So they teach it differently now then?
They do. Yeah. And some of the words that I know, and then we speak in like, I call them accents because like the East Coast has different signs than the West Coast. And because I was born in New Hampshire, so I sign a little different than they do out here in Colorado. And I never would have known that unless I didn't live in two separate places.
That's incredible. I can't believe you can incorporate accents into sign language. That's amazing.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Everybody always makes fun of me because my sign's a little different than it is out in Colorado.
Oh, I love that. That's really funny. So with talking, you know, people look down on different people's accent, you know, in America and certainly in the UK as well. You know, you have a posh accent or you have a common accent and all that kind of stuff. So can that come across sometimes with sign language then?
Yeah, especially if you're signing a little different to them. And so like I always say favorite, but it's really favorite out here. And so I think that they know when you're not from where they're from because the sign's a little too different. They're like, and they always ask, well, where are you from? I'm like, well, I'm from the East Coast. And they're like, oh, well, that explains it.
That's amazing. Never knew that. So what made you want to put this book together? What was the message that you wanted to get out there?
I think for me, a lot of people think the book is about the deaf and hard of hearing community, and it's really not. It's about connection. So it's for everybody, because I think that readers often tell me that they expected to learn about the deaf community, but what they actually learned was about being like a better person, being a better parent, reader, leader, because it talks about communication and making people feel like they belong somewhere.
Yeah, amazing. And you haven't just written it for people in the deaf community. It can apply to everybody.
Yeah, it applies to everyone. And a lot of people who aren't in the deaf and hard of hearing community always say that they thank me because it gave them a different perspective on like how to be inclusive. So it's more about connection and being inclusive.
Yeah. And one of the things I mentioned in the introduction, you helped your parents buy a home at the age of 12. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so I was just in the car going with them to what I thought was just a real estate closing. And when I got there, they didn't have any interpreters at all. So they were just like shoveling the paperwork in front of them. And you can tell my parents, of course we can all read, but it's different when something's actually explained to you in your language. And they had no one there explaining it to them. So I just jumped in and started interpreting the paperwork at 12. And I don't know what's going on. And the paperwork, but you can tell that my parents were so thankful that I was there and was able to do that. And I always thought to myself, I'm never going to let anybody feel like they did that day, because they felt isolated and like an outcast because they weren't understanding what they were signing. And so that's how I actually got into real estate. I always liked it since.
Oh, that's really amazing. Yeah, I imagine that must happen a lot to people in the deaf community. I mean, the frustration of not being able to communicate and not being understood by people must be terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And they feel isolated a lot, especially the kids who don't have the accessibility to like a deaf school or have to be put into the mainstream schools. So I think that they really do feel like they're, because I think anybody, all of us, we just want to feel seen and heard and know that we matter. And then when you make them feel like they aren't important or have the accessibility for them, then it makes them feel like they don't belong somewhere. And so I fought for years to be able to have interpreters at the closing table. Even though I'm fluent at it, you still want an interpreter there. And then, but now, I mean, technology has come a long way now. Like we're having interpreters at all the closings. It's a law now. It's an ADA law.
Yeah.
But that took a while to fight for that.
So I imagine that obviously the title of your book, Raised in Silence, suggests that, you know, a lot of the time in your home, things were quite quiet. But then also you talk about having loud family dinners. So when was it quiet and when and why was it loud?
Yeah, exactly. It was always loud. We were like the party house because our parents couldn't hear us. So we can always play the music loud and like be loud and jump around. So our house was completely opposite. And that's the connection that I wanted to use for the book Raised in Silence, because in their world it's silent, but it's really not. Like Coda's are loud, and we don't, no one realizes that you'll slam the doors or you'll do things like that. And so we were always messing around with each other.
Yeah. There's a heartbreaking moment that you talk about interpreting your mother's terminal cancer diagnosis. That must have been, really hard.
Yeah. And we had no interpreters, and that was 25 years ago. And then so my dad, coincidentally, a couple of years ago, died from the same cancer. It was melanoma. And so seeing my mom and having me be the one to have to, and I knew when the doc, because we can see people's expressions and feelings, because that's what sign language is. It's all about your body language and your expressions. And so I knew when the doctor came in that it was bad. And so, yeah, I was the one who had to tell my mom that she only had 1 to 3 months to live. But like between her diagnosis and seeing my dad's was completely different, because my dad had access to all the interpreters because it was recent. And so I think that no one realizes the pressure that we get. And it made me grow up fast, which was good because I was a teen mom. But of feeling like we have to help them. So I think that it being raised by deaf and deaf parents helped me to be resilient and have more empathy towards people, because I saw they went through.
Yeah. I was going to say, what are some of the things that you've noticed that have ended up being a real blessing through speaking sign language? It must give you more empathy and more connection and being able to read people better, as you said.
Yeah, exactly. I think it gave me like true listening skills, because I think when you don't have that, and when you sign, you have to look at them, and you can't be on your phone because you're signing to them. So when we're just listening to people, we're on our phones or we're thinking of the next thing to say. But then when you're signing, you're actually there and present with them. So I think for me, it helped me to be a better communicator and be more present.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how often are you using sign language on a daily basis now, like within your job? Does it come up often?
I use it every day because I have deaf and hard of hearing clients. And so I'm one of the main realtors that help that. And we do it nationwide. So I use it daily.
Wow.
And in fact, I'm actually meeting a friend that's deaf. Two of my really good friends, they're both deaf.
Oh, that's amazing. Because I imagine it's like with any language, even if you learnt it as a child, as an adult, if you're not using it as much, it must be easy to forget. We certainly see that a lot here living in Europe. A lot of people might have grown up speaking French or even Spanish or German, but then if you don't use it so much as an adult, you can forget things.
You can forget it.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's funny that you said that, because I was talking to my siblings about that, because they don't use it every day. And I was actually wondering that for my own self. Like, do you guys like forget some of the signs? Because if you're not, because our parents are gone. So but they said, no, they still remember it. And I actually am more comfortable signing than I am talking, obviously, because I stutter anyway. So that's already uncomfortable, but I've always been more comfortable signing than I would be speaking.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Well, you're not stuttering at all. I wouldn't notice or say that you had a stutter at all. You speak very well.
Thank you. Sometimes when I listen to my stuff back, I'm like, oh, I was really stuttering on that one.
Oh,
but I don't know when it happens. It just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. I guess it's one of those, if you start thinking about it, then it can happen.
Watch me start stuttering.
No, stop. We're not. We'll talk about something else. So how did you find the writing of the book? Have you written anything before?
No, I always, when I was a kid, I still remember sitting like underneath my windowsill thinking that I was going to write like these mystery books, because I love like suspenseful books. And then, so I always knew that I wanted to be a writer. And then it was 15 years in the making, and I was just doing like little stories and stuff on my phone. And then every year I had it on my New Year's resolution list. Like, you have to get the book out, like get it out. And then finally I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have to do it, because if I keep putting it on every single year, it's never going to get done. So it was just a whole, it was like a collaboration of ideas and thoughts that I had for the last 15 years about being inclusive and making people feel like they had a safe space to belong somewhere.
Yeah, nice. And for anyone listening who might know somebody who's deaf or may come across somebody who's deaf and who doesn't know how to sign, any tips on ways that they should communicate better with the person to help them understand them if they can't sign?
I think for me, it's just the effort of just trying, because you can even pull out your phone and type on it and just turn to them so they can read it. And so I think that a lot of people don't feel like everyone's always afraid of the unknown. So that's why I feel like people just don't try, because they don't know what's going to come out of it and they're afraid to. And I think that if you do just try, it's always, because that can change their entire day. Like even just a simple gesture of like, thank you or hi, just to let them know that they belong somewhere and they're not just ignored.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And lip reading, obviously, I know that from personal experience with friends, can really help if you're communicating with someone who's hard of hearing. If you're really pronouncing your words properly and opening your mouth and allowing them to have the opportunity to lip read instead of mumbling and keeping the lips really close together, so it's much harder to do. I'm told that really helps as well. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, just be aware of their persona, like the way that their expressions are, and always try to take off sunglasses, because I even have a hard time communicating with people with sunglasses, because we're all very ASL, and I'm sure all the other different sign language are very facial expression based. And so when you take off your sunglasses, you're actually looking at them and trying to communicate with them.
Yeah. Another good tip. I remember I've just reminded myself, actually, during the pandemic when we all had to wear masks, friends of mine who were deaf and in a deaf family, they really struggled because they couldn't lip read because nobody could see each other's mouths. And they made, because she's really good at sewing, she made these face masks that had plastic, see-through plastic along the front, along the mouth, so people could wear the masks, but you could still see their lips moving and were able to lip read. I thought that was so clever.
Yeah, that was such a good invention for that, because it was hard, especially at the beginning of the sign. We would have to ask the title cook, can she take off her mask? And they would say no. We're like, okay, well, they can't read their lips. Like, they can't. You still have to look at them. And then one of them also got the plastic things. That was so smart.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to see them and feel them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, it's great to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. If people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Raised in Silence, and it's by Maria Gallucci, who we've been chatting to. The book's available on our website, tre.radio. Excuse me. Maria, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.